And all these things were formed throughout my past history and were accumulated in my mind and became like a fortress there. And that stronghold has more power on me than the Word of God. I submit to that authority more than I submit to the Lord. That becomes the authority that governs my life, is a stronghold. Now, this stronghold becomes your value, your convictions, it becomes your habit, your traditions. It determines your behavior. Why you act the way you act? Because there's something controlling you. And the Bible calls it strongholds. They're with you probably so many years. It could be mental strongholds or demonic strongholds, natural, or dark supernatural. And these strongholds really prevent me from life of freedom, prevent me from maturing, growing in the Lord, knowing the Lord, or advancing of the Lord. And that stronghold is a place where the devil enters and leaves. It's like a place where it's a trespassing, but he comes and operates there. You're not demon-possessed person, but there is a trespassing, demonic trespassing takes place in your life because of strongholds. Let me explain more. These strongholds, a place from which the enemy enters and speaks to you. And constantly that stronghold, that mindset, debates with you. And by debating, trying to erase every word of God was planted in you. To nullify, to pull down. So that stronghold becomes the key. Stay the king, stay the authority over your life. So whenever you hear the word, there is a warfare going on to erase the word of God from your mind. That's why Paul is saying, pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments. What is arguments? He's arguing with you, he's debating with you, so it will wear you down, and that is... You can come in agreement with those ideas and strengthen the strongholds in your mind. So he will convince you, the devil will convince you, you're not able, you have no value, you're nothing. You start undermining your life and the call of God on your life. Now, these strongholds becomes barriers between you and yourself. Becomes a barrier between you and the Lord. These kinds of strongholds, it's like a place of authority in my life, the mindset that I have, and the enemy is taking advantage. That's why you come to the church, you look holy. But you go back home, you're a different person. It seems like I'm with two personalities. I will tell you something about myself now. One time, my wife came to me and said, Andrew, I have to be honest with you. I love you so much when you are in the church. You look like an angel in the church. I don't like you in the house. You don't argue with my wife. He said, I love you when you are in the church, but I don't like the man in the house. I went to the Lord. I said, is she saying the truth? I said, yes, she's saying the truth. So I took probably several months just repenting and really dealing with those things that really dominates my behavior and getting free. And I didn't tell her what I'm doing, but after like several months, she came and said, you changed. Said, how? She said, now I love my husband in the house. Not just in the church. And having two personalities is really because there are present of strongholds in your life. And you don't know how to do, you know, you want to walk with God, but there is a struggle there. I love the presence of God, but when I'm out somewhere, I'm different. And God wants to bring freedom into your life. So you're not two people, you're just one person, inside like the outside. And that's our life. And I tell you honestly, God will end that struggle in your life, will end that insecurity in your life, and bring you to the freedom. Now, there can be so many kinds of strongholds. Could be fear of men, could be past painful things in our lives, could be like resentment or depression or strongholds in relationships or sexual strongholds, things that governs my life and I hate it. I don't like it. Now, the nature of these strongholds, it grows. Like another 6 months becomes the size is bigger. By years, it will grow. It will not stay the same. That's the nature of stronghold. Becomes a big problem in your life in the future. Either you break it or it will grow in your life. And we have the power to break every stronghold so I can be free. To be what God called me to be. Now, the question is, how can I know I have strongholds? Could be small ones, could be big ones, but how can I know I have strongholds? Do you want to know how you can discover? This is like examination. You examine yourself. Now, the first signal that I have stronghold is I have sharp reactions. I have sharp reactions. It seems like all of us have sharp reactions. No, maybe not. Easily angered. Sharp reaction, easily angered. What about constantly blaming others? Blame the circumstances. Constantly I'm justifying myself, defending myself. The problem is outside of me. I'm always right and everybody's wrong. When I hear somebody like that, welcome. Welcome to the club. Come and we need to deal with the stronghold. And that's exactly. When you have a sharp reactions, easily angered, constantly blaming, justifying yourself, defending yourself, you're always right. What about avoiding confrontation? Somebody puts his finger on that. You can't handle it. You will withdraw immediately. You can live with denial. So these strongholds can be conquered and can be broken. The Lord can break it. That's why we laid the foundation yesterday about the blood of Jesus can break every stronghold in your life. The area is to present it to God. Say, Lord, I identify that strong in my life. And you start attacking it. By the repentance, confession, repentance, and by faith, you start attacking that stronghold, and then this will be broken from your life, and you're casting all these strongholds, those arguments and imagination, and bringing every thought into the subjection, into the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, to keep those strongholds from not coming back, you have to carry the cross. That's what Jesus said. If anybody follows me, must carry his cross. Deny himself. What is deny myself? Deny my strongholds. And follow me. So carrying, when I carry the cross, I say, not my will, but your will, Lord. No strongholds will come near me. That's why God said to Jeremiah, 4 principle 4-2. We call it principle 4-2. He said to him, listen, Jeremiah, you have to root out, pull down, destroy, and overthrow, then build and plant. Four negatives and two positive. And so many times we have to throw down and overthrow and break and destroy things, then we can build and plant. Praise the Lord. Now, let's talk about the foundation of behavioral freedom. The first foundation is my position in Christ. My position in Christ. In the notes we have my position in Christ. I received that gift through faith. So the enemy, the only thing the enemy has against you is accusation and deception. There's no more strategies here, just accusation and deception. He deceive you or accuse you. But when you know your identity in Christ and your position in Christ, the devil will be terrified. Every time we come to deliver people from demonic evil spirits, you know, the reason we are stepping into why? Because we know who we are in Christ. He's not the one to cause us to be afraid. He's terrified from us. So the first foundation, you need to know your position, your identity in Christ. The second foundation is what kind of authority that governs your life? What kinds of authority that governs in your life, governs your life? Now, Jesus came and spoke about the kingdom. He spoke most of his teaching about the kingdom. What is the kingdom? There are many, many definitions of the kingdom: God's rule, God's government, God's authority, God's presence. But the best description of the kingdom, the lordship of Christ. When Jesus Lord over your life, you are living the kingdom. The lordship of Christ. Now, in the Bible, there are two phrases, two theological phrases, and it's good to look at them. The first phrase, in Christ. We were created in Christ. When you see the phrase in Christ, that's position. My position in Christ. But there is another phrase, and we need to pay attention to it. In the Lord. In Christ, and the other phrase, in the Lord. As you receive Jesus the Lord, walk in it. So whenever speaks, I am in the Lord, speaks about my behavior. Whenever this speaks about in Christ, speaks about my position. And if you study this in the epistles, you'll see it so clearly, in Christ and in the Lord. 64 times it speaks in Christ. And 29 times in the Lord. In the New Testament, in the Lord, in Christ. In the Lord, in Christ. In Christ means positional freedom. In the Lord, behavioral freedom. Now, let's come to the real thing. Now, I love this picture where Jesus is the lamb, and also he is the lion. Most of our times, we want to relate to Jesus, the lamb. It was the Lamb in Christ, that position. You know, he heals me, he forgives, he's my priest, he died for me, he take care of me, he's everything you need to be cleansed, to be washed, to be freed. You go to the Lamb. That's the power of the blood, the power of the redemption. You know, when you need, so we're more comfortable to relate to Jesus as my Lamb. But what about is the lion? The lion in the Lord, the Lamb in Christ. Yeah, now you need to relate to Jesus, not just the Lamb. He is also the Lion. That means he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He rules and reigns. That's the kingdom. When we speak about Jesus, the Lion, that means speaks about his kingdom in us. We're relating to the kingdom of God when we see Jesus, the Lion of Judah, from the tribe of Judah. Are you catching it? Hallelujah. So when you come to Jesus, don't just avoid the lion and only come to the Lamb. So when we come to the Lord, we need to know his priestly and his kingly ministry. That's the fullness of the work of God in our lives. In the Lamb, that's my position. In the Lion, that's my behavior. If he's the Lord of my life, I walk under his lordship. I obey his word. Now, the foundation of freedom comes that Jesus is the Lord of my life. That's the behavior of freedom. He's the only authority that governs my life. And as we learn how to also pray constant, Lord, rule and reign in me. I want your government in my heart. I want the Lion to be in charge of everything in my life. You know, I said to the Lord, I don't want any blessing to come to me without to be under your lordship. Every blessing comes to me must come under his rulership, under his kingship. So the best picture we can see, Justin, I don't want to take more of your time, but the best picture to give us a meaning of the lordship of Christ is the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel, there is a war there between the lordship of God and the lordship of the nations or the kingdoms. There's a war going on in the book of Daniel. Who's in charge? And if you read the book of Daniel, you will see that so clearly about teaching what it means for Jesus to be the Lord of my life. Look at the book of Daniel. But before we go into that, the Bible tells us in Romans, the lordship is a foundation for my salvation, my behavior, and doing the will of God. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, not just Jesus, the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, when you confess Jesus, Lord of your life, when you confess Jesus, Lord of your life, what is this declaration means? You declare that Jesus rose from the dead. You declare that he is deity. He is the Lord. You declare that he is the master of your life. You declare that there is no other master in your life. You declare that he's alive and well that works in your life. So that word Adonai, which is translated Lord in English, that word is so revered by the Jewish people. When you say Lord Adonai, it's so awesome. So there's there's a, such a sense of awe when they mention that Adonai word, because they understand Adonai means the Lord of hosts, the one that owns and controls everything, every aspect of life. Now, in the book of Daniel, we see this story starts telling us the meaning of the Lordship of Christ. The first principle we see that the Lordship of Christ results of personal decision of the heart, not by knowledge, abilities, or blessings. If you are gifted and you have abilities and resources, that doesn't mean that Jesus is the Lord of your life. It's not a result of your ministry. It's a result of a decision that you make in your heart. And that's exactly where Daniel took in his heart. He made in his heart not to be defiled with the king's food and drink. And that's where the Lordship starts, when you decide in your heart, when you decide, no authority will govern my life except him. That's where the Lordship of Christ starts. It's not just to sing it. I love to sing about the Lordship of Christ. It's not for singing as much as a hard decision. A lady, she's a general secretary of a company, and the owner of the company's office, and she's the second person in the company. And he told her one day, she's a believer, he told her, listen, when somebody calls me and he comes, tell him I'm not in the office. And he's in the office. She told him, sir, if you're in the office, I'm going to tell them you're in the office. I cannot lie. He said to her, okay, you're fired. She came and said to me, Pastor, what should I do? You know, if I say he's not in the office, I'll stay in my job. I lost my job. I said, why did you do that? She said, because Jesus is the Lord of my life. I will not submit to lie. And because she honored her Lord above the owner of the company, the Holy Spirit got hold of the owner all night, who could not sleep. He called her the next day. He said, I want you to come back to the work. Said, you fired me. She said, no, yes, I fired, but I'm hire you again with a double salary and with higher position, because now I can trust the entire company into your hand. She chose to lose her job than to do a small lie. And when you honor the Lordship of Christ in your life, get ready for the blessing. Get ready of how God is going to honor you. It seems like it's a defeat for you. No, it's not a defeat. And that's exactly what Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, they did. What they did, they honored God as the Lord, the Adonai, above all the kingdoms of the world. What happened? The Lord raised them up. He went into the fire. They changed the rules of the kingdom. They were blessed, and they were raised to higher positions and higher salary and higher authority. Why? Every time you honor his Lordship, he will raise you up. Anywhere you go. That's exactly what the Lordship of Christ means. In your notes here, you know, when you choose to honor the Lord and to choose to operate and believe and walk in the under the Lordship of Christ, it will cause challenges and conflict with the world. You know, the king What did he do with Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego? Do you know what did he do? He put fire 7 times in the furnace. He was so angry. And every time you're going to walk in the Lordship of Christ, nobody's going to be a good job. It will going to be a warfare there. But he's the winner. He will win the battle. We see personal obedience regardless of the cost. Whatever, I love this word. He said, we have no need to answer you in this matter. We already made up our minds. You want to burn us, throw us in the fire. But we will not worship your idol. We will not bow to the lordship, to the Lord, to any other Lord than our God. So we see the lordship is a personal obedience. Something very personal. It's a hard decision. No matter what the cost you're going to pay, he's more precious to me than anything in this world. What about trusting surrender regardless of the outcome? That's the lordship. And God will honor those that honors him. Victory and advancement in the midst of struggle, pain, and loss. God changed the laws. Daniel in the lion's den, what happened? He challenged the laws of that kingdom. And I tell you, God will give us advancement and victory. And above all, when you say, Jesus is the Lord of my life, you accept the responsibility to give an account to the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, let's close with a few verses here, how to maintain freedom in Christ. Just quickly, and we will pray. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. We need to maintain the freedom that God has given us, to break those strongholds, to maintain behavior of freedom every day. So we need to be continuously aware of the redemption, the blood of Jesus, our position in him. Continuously breaking the bread and the communion. Come into the body of Christ. You maintain your freedom. Maintain right relationship with God, right relationship with people. And so you maintain that liberty, that freedom. What about submission to the government of God in our hearts? There are two kinds of submission. There's wrong submission and there's correct submission. I don't submit to God because I'm terrified from him. I submit out of loving him. I love to submit to the Lord. God is not going to force his submission over you. He will not do it. You have to choose it. I have to be your Lord. You submit. And God is not going to do that. He's a gentleman. You choose. Respond to the training of grace in walking in the light. Just keep responding of the Holy Spirit, what he's going to do. And you're choosing transformation into the image of Christ rather than the image of the world. So many times we choose honor instead choosing to be transformed to his image. I tell you, freedom is designed to experience it daily as you are close to the Lord. walking in intimacy with God. You know the parable of the foolish and the wise virgins in Matthew 25? I always wondered about this, studying that parable. There's 10 wise, 10 virgins, 5 are foolish and 5 are wise. And it's easy to say the 5 foolish are unsaved, the 5 ones, 5 wise virgins are the saved ones. It's easy to come to that conclusion, but I think it's beyond that. The whole parable speaks about the bride and the bridegroom. What is the highlight of their relationship is the intimacy. The relationship. Okay, the wise virgins have the oil, the foolish virgins, they didn't have the oil. They have the lamb, but they didn't have the oil. Okay, the oil is the Holy Spirit, they don't have the Holy Spirit. It's easy to enter, but it's beyond that. What is the oil there? I always wonder, Lord, what is this oil? I know the Holy Spirit, but what is the Holy Spirit oil there? What represent? And I believe that oil represent the intimacy with the bride, with the bridegroom. The love. How many here will say, Lord, fill me with oil of love? The whole parable is about the love of the bride with the bridegroom, and the oil represent that intimacy, that relationship, that oil of love. It's like Romans 5, as we read, and the love of God that was poured into your heart through the Holy Spirit. How many here will say, Lord, fill my life with the oil of love? You know, when the foolish virgins came knocking, you know, open, we know him. You know what Jesus said? I really don't know you. Why you don't know us? Because you did not open your heart for me to know you. Sovereignly, God knows us. But he wants to know us relationally. I have to open my life to him. I have to have a relationship. When I come in an intersection, God wants me to go right, and I come to the intersection, I take a left. That's the place he will know my heart. Because there will always be a tree of life, knowledge, and good and evil. Choice. Now, when Jesus said to the foolish virgins, I don't know you because you did not open your life for me to know you. When we are filled with oil, what does this mean? We allow Jesus to know me. The oil of love. The oil of intimacy with him. So freedom is that thing. It's maintained by having that relationship, that intimate relationship with him. Of course, there is a serious commitment to the Lordship, the light of eternity, a life of contentment and simplicity. These things, faith that overcomes the devil's schemes, attraction of the world, and legalism maintaining, and the last one is maintaining our love, our first love for him. Maintaining our first love. Are you which group? Are you from the foolish ones or from the wise ones? Are you full of that first love oil? And that's the freedom. To maintain that freedom, maintain your oil is full of the love of God. Amen. Hallelujah. So we can understand now the positional freedom and behavioral freedom. Our struggle is not with positional freedom. Our struggle is to to know the Lord more, to discover the truth. As we obey the word, God is revealing the word. The more we follow the Lord, we are disciples of Jesus. We carry the cross. The way that we're experiencing more freedom as we walk with the Lord. Amen. Let's all stand before the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Get filled with oil. He wants to know you. Love your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, with all your soul. That's the oil. That's the oil. I want you just to go for a few seconds or minute or two. Just pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. And ask the Lord to release deeper freedom than what you have right now. Deeper freedom, Lord.